Well, there's a passage, and God began to deal with me about this passage because of the challenges that we see that the Roman church were dealing with. And God began to let me know, he says, hey, you've got to recognize that things may not always go your way. In fact, Paul was teaching the Roman church. He says, man, distress is going to come, trouble is going to come, tribulations are going to come. He said, but then he asked a question. He said, is this going to separate you from the love of God? Because then all of us have to answer that question. In Romans 38 and 37 says this, they answered, no, in all these things, what? We are through him who loved us. So say that, I'm more than a conqueror. Now, you all didn't sound very convincing. Do me a favor, witness to your neighbors, I'm more than a conqueror. Now, if you believe that, give him a praise right now. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. As we bow our heads and pray, Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your kindness and your love toward us. We don't take it for granted, God, how you, as James says, bless us to wake up and our eyes popped open because everybody didn't wake up. We thank you, God, for another day. We thank you for an opportunity to worship you, to give you glory, to give you praise. Father, we don't come out of because someone forced us to come, but God, we're here and we came to give you praise. We say like the psalmist, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. We'll say like the psalmist, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, because we could be somewhere else. But thank you, Lord, for being in your presence. For God, in your presence is a fullness of joy. Now speak to us today. Someone needs to be encouraged, uplifted, and strengthened. Someone watching is in the midst of a challenge and a struggle right now, even a major tribulation. Father, show us hope in the name of Jesus, for that hope is in you. So we ask this in Jesus' name, and they would agree with that prayer. I want you to give God a real good praise if he's been good to you this week. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The writer says, no, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I start off by saying I'm encouraged and motivated by the victorious people in my life. As I look around, I look at many of you all, and I've had an opportunity to talk to you and hear your victorious testimonies. What is a victorious testimony? That's people that have gone through struggle, that have gone through trouble. And sometimes when you see people on Sunday, you don't know where they've been through. You don't know their struggle. You don't know where they've come from. It's amazing that when you hear where people come from, there's a whole nother level of appreciation and how you value them because, you know, they don't necessarily look like now what they used to look like because God has done an amazing transformation. I think of the individual young man called me earlier this week. He says, Pastor, I'd like to come talk to you. And, you know, I didn't know what he wanted, but he says, I just want to share with you what God has done in my life. And I know him because when he was born to parents that were both on crack cocaine, and they couldn't take care of him. So he ended up being adopted by a family, and this family really loved on him. They Christian family that loved him and took good care of him. And, you know, the enemy would like to think that because you weren't, you know, in the same people that raised you were the people that bore you, you would think that something's wrong. But, man, God began to use the young man. He gave his heart to God at a young age, did well in school, graduated from high school, graduated from college. And he had a vehicle he wanted. He says, man, look how good God is. He says, you know, and the devil tried to take me out of here when I was a child, tried to mess with my head all through school, but look at me now. And he says, I'm going to be a teacher. And not only am I going to be a teacher, but God is going to use me in another. In fact, I'm looking for a wife. I was like saying, God, you know, send him right over here because we've got some. But my thing is that what the enemy means for evil, God will turn it around and he'll put you in the right place. I'm telling you, he will do it. You know, I think about another young lady and that her testimony blesses me. She talks about the fact that she struggled in the area of dealing with drugs as well and how God delivered her and how God did an amazing work in her. And sometimes you don't recognize it, but sometimes the people next to you have come from a long way. If you would hear their testimony, it'd probably blow you away. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. One particular, it happened about 20 years ago, a young lady came up, and we were at Southeast High School at the time having service, and I knew her praise was very loud and boisterous, and she'd run around and be very, very loud. And that's okay. And I asked her, I said, you know, tell me your story. What is your story? She says, you know, you sure you want to hear it? I said, yeah, I want to hear it. But I knew it was going to change me, but I didn't know exactly what it was because she had this thing wrapped around her throat all the time. And I said, talk to me. And she began, I gave her the microphone, and this was on Sunday. I had never heard it before. And she says, well, I'm a former prostitute. And she says, I was on the streets since a teenager till I was an adult, and off and on, I was on crack cocaine. And this particular time that two men, violently raped me. They took me to an area, a secluded area, and violently raped me. And not only did they rape me, they beat me and then cut my throat with a razor. And they left me for dead. And she said, I could hear them saying when they left, she said, I just laid there to say that the bee is, I think she's dead now. And so we can go. And so happened, someone was on the same area in the secluded area by some water. She said, they came by and saw her dying, bleeding to death. Picked her up, took her to the hospital, and sewed her up, took care of all the surgery and stuff. But the scar is still there. So she says, so when you see me praising, it's not because things have always been great in my life, but if people just knew where I came from. Man, I tell you what, sometimes, you know, it's a difference between people that just praise from here because the song's on the screen versus people that have been a ways. And man, her praise, I tell you what, I had a whole nother appreciation for her. But the thing is that she is a conqueror. She's a conqueror, more than a conqueror. And the enemy tries to take you out, and there's all kind of us that have had struggles in life. Can I get a witness? I think of the young lady who I have so much respect for, you know, the young lady that goes to this church, grew up in this church, and when she was a teenager diagnosed with cancer, prepared for college and ready to go to college, and now you're college and you say that you got cancer, and you say, like, Lord, what's up with this? And a lot of people would have given up, said, well, I'm not going to go to school, I'm not going to do this. But do you know that she went on to go to college in the midst of treatments and so forth and so on, and praying and still loving God? See, some people, when challenge happens in their life, they want to give up and say, I'm mad at God, I'm mad at the world, and I'm not going to go on. But she went on to college, wanted to help people in teaching, and she began to teach and help the very area and the people that she wanted to help. And then says, I want to leave there and go and be an attorney. She's in school right now to be an attorney and loving God with all of her heart. Don't tell me that your struggles have to get you down. I don't care what you're in the midst of. That gives me my first point is this. Regardless of what you're going through, in all things, help me out. We are. Y'all got to say it a little bit more confidently. In all things, we are what? I want you to know that I don't care what you're in the midst of, what you've been facing, what you've been dealing with. I don't care what it is, regardless of what it is. In all things, and the Bible does say all things, we are more than conquerors. That means that you conquer those things that try to conquer you. You have the ability to reign over the very dope that had you one day strung out. Can I get a witness in this house? I remember two more guys, and I'm almost done telling stories, but man, when I think about their lives and think about how God did an amazing work in their life. And I didn't say it was easy, because when they were born, you know, again, you know, that's, I mean, it's almost like I'm back on this same message where people have struggled with drug addiction, but people have struggled with drug addiction for several reasons. Well, one reason is because there's something void on the inside of them, because they're searching for something. And they were singing the song, searched all over, couldn't find nobody greater. Let me just share with you, if you're watching television and you happen to be tuned in, if you're searching for something and you've looked everywhere else, can I let you know there's someone called Jesus that can turn your life around and give you hope in a hopeless situation? And I give God glory and praise for that very thing. But one was left in a trash can, in a dumpster, absolute dumpster. And he had to deal with that whole thing. He says, why would my parents leave me in a dumpster? But I don't care where you're left. The thing is that you did not die. And God has a plan for you. And I began to wrap my arms around him and tell him, and we were just crying on each other, talking about how God picked him up. And you talk about from the guttermost to the uttermost. You talk about God turning some things around. You talk about God taking what the enemy tried to do is kill him. But man, you talk about a testimony that are blessing other young people. I want you to know that regardless of where you've come from, what you've done, there is a God that wants to give you tremendous victory in your life. And I give God praise and I give him glory. Thank you, Lord. Let me ask you a question. What is your testimony? What is your testimony? We know that in life we have many troubles and challenges. In fact, the scripture says, you know, in this world you will have trials or troubles or tribulations, but it says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I want you to know that's why Jesus came, to overcome the very world. And the thing is that we can stay in our, if you will, suffering mode and in our pity mode, or we can say, you know, woe is me, I've had so many issues, and sing the blues or country western, you know, whatever your preference is, you know. Or you can choose to get up. You can choose to blame others. You can choose to point the finger. You can choose to sit down and say, I'm mad at the world. I'm mad. I'm bitter. No one's any good. Or you can rise up and say, I'm going to believe God and trust him, because in him I am more than a conqueror. I want you to know that I choose to be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I remember my wife even, you know, we think about some years ago, and some of you heard the testimony, when she was diagnosed with Graves' disease, and we didn't know how to deal with that. And sometimes we link, follow this, sometimes we link doing good to everything happening right in your life. But that's not true. I said it one more time. We think that because we've done everything right, that everything should happen just right in our life. That's not how it goes. My God. You can do well. Prime example, what did Jesus do so wrong? Wow. So therefore, I want you to know that sometimes bad things happen because we live in a fallen world. But it doesn't mean that God loves you any less. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And also, and God has helped me out to understand this, because sometimes we think that because I gave my heart to God, that God owes me a comfortable life. And especially in America, that's not so much the case in some other countries, especially some developing countries. Because, you know, sometimes their prayer is different than ours. We pray for a Louis purse. We pray for, give me a Benz. I want a Benz, Lord. And be mad if the Lord don't give it to you. See, God, I said I want a Benz. What's up? They're praying for food. You know, that some, you know, some don't come out of the bush and eat them. Depending on where you are. That certain groups don't shoot up this camp, or militants don't come in and wreak havoc wherever they are. Are you with me today? So the whole concept of comfort in Christianity is actually been blown out of proportion. Can I just be truthful in this house? It's getting quiet, and I like comfort section. If you really want to follow Christ and you see the disciples' example, you know, you see what happened to them. The Bible talks about the very fact that you know, Peter was hung on a cross upside down as a martyr and died like that. In fact, 11 of the 12 disciples died horrific deaths. Only one of them, John, is the one that lived out his rightful old age. You see, now I hear some people say, do you really want to be a Christian? Because the truth be known is, Paul was preaching to the church at Rome. It's getting real quiet in the house. I'm so glad you. Paul was preaching to the church at Rome, and he was encouraging them in the midst of the things that they were going through, because, you know, they had seen. In fact, let's go to that scripture in the book of, I think it's, It is Romans 8, 35 and 36. I like that passage. It says this, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have troubles or calamity? Sometimes we link Christ's love with stuff. Or our what? Or. Who would want to be a part of that? Who wants to go to that church? Well, you signed up, hallelujah. Because the big church, to be truthful, we've got to recognize it's not all, everything goes my way. Are you all still with me today? Woo, I'm trying to figure out the brick spirit is rising up, hallelujah. So what happens is this, is that we have to recognize that sometimes things happen to us that we didn't ask for, but somehow it doesn't separate us from God's love. Thank you, God. Let me paint a picture. Nero was the emperor at that time. Nero had a name for persecuting saints. That's what he did, Christians, just like Paul did previously before Saul did before he became Paul. What did they do? Well, one, they would cook Christians. If you're a Christian, they would cook you. I mean, literally, in fire. Well, another thing, they would boil you in water, sometimes oil. Another time, they would skin Christians. You also. Another place they would, if one preacher preached the message and told them they were living in sin, and before it was over with, they grabbed him, put him behind a team of horses, and they just drug him all through the city until he was dead. And you think you going through something. They don't like me on my job. They talked about me on Facebook. Man, I'm telling you what, if we had to go through what some of them went through, it'd make me wonder if we would still want to say, yeah, I want to follow you, Christ. When I look at what took place there and I see the danger that they were in, and the man of God, Paul, had to preach to the people and say, listen, folks, you know, I don't care what you're in the midst of. Don't let this separate you from God. How many of you all need to know that I don't care what happens to you, even if you're a believer, if you're a close follower of Christ, you can't let circumstances separate you from God's love just because things don't go your way. Are you all with me today? They say, well, you know, they didn't recognize me. I'm going to stop working in children's ministry. Nobody comes and says anything about me driving a van. Really? That's what we have to complain about. Am I okay today? You know, I have to watch myself because, you know, I can go there too. It's easy to come up with a pity party, but the Bible says we're soldiers. I have five grandchildren, one in particular. Two of the older two. And on occasions, they can you know, get an attitude, have a mood every now and then, not often, but every now and then. And I have to get big, you know. What do you want? Let me get it for you. No, I'm kidding. But I am, that is about me, but my wife is a little bit tougher. And sometimes they'll act up because they don't get what they want. And man, they got everything, but sometimes they'll go somewhere, I want that, and you say no. It's like... How many of you know Christians are like that too? Christians are like, I didn't get what I want, God. I thought I was your child. Come on. I had a moment this week too. Didn't happen the way I wanted it. And I had a moment I was like saying, God, what's up? And he was like saying, do you see what the early Christians went through and you complained about that? Straighten your face up and get back out there and get back in this. Some of us need to straighten our face up, recognize that what we're going through is not that bad, and know that God is with us. Are you with me today? Somebody give God a good praise in the house. Now, here's what the writer said in the 36th verse. He says, As the scripture says, for your sake, we are what? They were killing folks, chopping off Christians' heads. Now, you know you would have to really, what's the word? You'd have to preach real good if they was chopping folks' head off as Christians. And you said, well, I want y'all to come back next Sunday. Pastor, I'm out. I like it, liking everything. Well, we think we'll just watch you online. I just want you to know that they were in the midst of that situation. And the writer says this. He says, I reckon that the suffering of this very present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. So he was saying, like, I know this stuff is happening around you, but man, you got to look forward. Do you all recognize that this world in its present state is not our home? We're pilgrims and strangers just passing through. It's almost like when I go on vacation, I pack real light anyway, because I don't want, I wear the same thing, maybe wash it, you know, while I'm there. Make sure I correct that. And she'll ask the question. She says, aren't you going to take your stuff out and put it in the drawers? I'm saying, why? We only going to be here a few days, so what do? I just put the suitcase on the top of the thing, take what I want out of it, put it back in there. And why? Because I'm not planning to stay long. Can I let you know in this life, man, you can't be planning to stay long. What is life but a vapor? Put all your attention upon something that's going to be fading away and ultimately be burned up? No, let's put our trust in someone that's going to last forever, something that is tremendously important and valuable. That's people's lives. Somebody give God real good praise in this house. One passage says, endure hardness as good soldiers. Then another passage talks about that a good soldier doesn't get himself tied up or distracted with the civilian affairs, because his desire is to seek and to please the one who enlisted him. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Well, I'm feeling good right now. Why? Because the truth be known is that we need to recognize that Christianity is all not popcorn and candy. Bless me and, you know, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. Bless me, guess me. It's not all that. Now, understand, there are some things that come along with it, but you got to recognize that the Apostle Paul was talking to real people. So let me ask you this question. You know, when we see that life and see what we're dealing with right now, one of the main things that I want you to remember, when the enemy tries to come up against us, we're still celebrating from the very time of Resurrection Sunday, that Christ Jesus defeated the devil, and we celebrate his victory. The enemy has been defeated. The devil's been defeated. I don't care what comes to you, the devil has still been defeated, but it doesn't mean that you still won't face challenge. Say it with me, the devil's been defeated. And we celebrate Christ's victory. Why is that important? Because when the enemy sticks his ugly head up, we've got to remind him that he's been defeated. Because he was defeated 2,000 years ago, and some say, well, you know, so therefore once a year on Resurrection Sunday, we'll get happy about it. Duh! If we can get excited about Resurrection Sunday, let's have Resurrection Sunday every day. Because the devil is defeated then, he's still defeated. He's going to be defeated tomorrow. He's going to be defeated. And I give God glory for that, because when he tries to stick his ugly head up, I have to remind him, you defeated. And I've got some scripture to go along with it, because he said, well, I don't know what. If he defeated, then why is he in my family? Why is he messing with my money? Well, we're going to try to help you out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's first deal with it. Let's deal with the scriptures. Hebrews 2 and 14, it says this. It says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, talking about Jesus, so that they, by his death, he might break the powers of him who, talking about the devil, who holds the power of death. That is who? So when Jesus Christ came and shed his blood on earth in human form, the very power of the one that used to have the power of death is broken, because he proved that no longer can you hold anybody down, because if they're associated and connected with me, when I got up, they got up on the inside of me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this next passage. The 15th verse says, so therefore you're no longer in slavery. It says, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. How many of you know that in that day they didn't fear death? In this day, God doesn't want us to fear death. Are you all still with me? It's getting quiet in the house. You're talking about death. Well, what's going to happen? You know, all of us going one day, if we live long enough, unless the rapture come, and I pray that he comes and just takes us up. Now, I'd like to be taken like is Enoch. Yeah, that would be real cool. He said his ways please God so much that he just was no more. Can you imagine? That would be nice to be on a Sunday. So what happened to the pastor? He was just taken up. We saw him leave. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, church will be full next week. Hallelujah. I'm serious. So therefore, I just want you to know, we don't have to fear death. I want to live my life like that. I want to live my life not afraid of everything, nervous about this, shook up about this. You know, I don't want to live my life. I want to live my life like, God, this thing is not only worth living for, it's worth dying for. Because when I die, I really live. That's our hope. Are you with me today? I want to walk like that. If I don't get my stuff on the earth, man, I know I'm going to get it somewhere else. Now, I don't mind breaking me off a little bit on the earth, too. But, man, this is not my place of destination. This is not where I'm going to spend my eternity. Are you with me today? We have to sometimes reorder our priorities. Are you with me today? Colossians 2 and 15, it says this, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, doing what? Triumphing over them by the cross. And we have to remind the devil that you have been defeated. You say, well, Pastor, well, what happens in my life? What happens in my family? What happens in my health? I'll tell you what happens, and that's in 1 Peter 5:8. It says, be alert. In other words, be on guard. Because, and he says also, have a sober mind. That's a good thing. Because your enemy, the devil, does what? Prowls around. Not as, but like. So he's not a roaring lion, but like a roaring lion. What does like mean? He's posing. So he is, and roaring, he's got a big mouth. How many of you know that the devil can talk some mess? Man, don't let no devil out talk you in your ear. You're going to die. You're going to be broke. You're not going to have enough to pay the rent. I mean, he can talk all kind of foolishness to you. And you got to shut him down. Can I get a witness? You got to shut him down. Because when he begins to roar like a lion looking for someone to devour, if he can get in your head, he'll devour you. Did you all get that? There was a... I was working on a particular job, and, you know, I'm trying to do what I'm supposed to do, and this guy just shows up, and he starts ordering people, just, you do this, like he was in charge, like he had authority over everybody. You do this, you do this, you go over here. I'm feeling some kind of way. I'm like saying, nobody told me he was in charge, just shows up, bossing folks. You do this, you pick this up, you go over here. And then I finally had the nerve enough, a couple of us did, we said, you know, we asked the guy who was in charge said, you know, who is this guy? And he says, I don't know. He don't work here. He just somebody off the streets. See, he ain't got no authority. Can I let you know that the devil don't have no authority? You ain't bossing me. We said, get out of here. We ain't letting you run this. You haven't been deputized, authorized. But I've been given authority. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, I'm endowing you with power from on high. I want you to know that we've been deputized. Don't let the devil punk you out. He is, how should I say, in violation of the authority law. Because he has no authority in your house, in your family, in your health, in your money. He has no authority. And you have to remind him of that. You're defeated. Are you with me today? So here's what has to happen. You've got to be alert and sober-minded. When he comes talking to, okay, wait a minute, you have no authority here. You ain't running this house. You ain't running this marriage. You ain't running my health. So therefore, I've got authority over you. He says, you're in because he wants to take you out. If you let him, one of the main things he'll do to you is deceive you. Big deception. But if you think he can do it, then you let him run havoc and wreak havoc in your life. I tell you the story, I tell it probably once a year, is that it was a boy at school. He was boasting about who he's going to beat up. He's a bully. Boasting about who he's going to beat up at school. Had a list. Writing everybody's name down. I'm getting this one. Wait till 3:30 comes. I'm getting him. Waiting for him. Oh, I'm chopping. I'm going to the head on him. I mean, talking big noise. Then one of the other guys that said, "Can I see your list?" He grabbed the list, looked at it. He says, "My name's on that list." He looked at him and said, "You can't beat me." He said, "Oh, that's right. Let me take your name off." If your name is on the hit list, let the devil know, devil, you better take my name off because you can't beat me. You can't hang over here. Why? Because I know who I am. I know whose I am. I know I've been given authority to tread upon the head of serpents and scorpions. Can I just get a good praise for those that know who they are in Christ Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. So it's important that we recognize that the devil is defeated and we celebrate Christ's victory. That's why we are celebrating with communion every Sunday of this month. It's been the fifth Sunday. Today will be the five Sundays in a row, even after the resurrection Sunday that we have. And why? Because it constantly says that every time we do it, we remember what he did for us. And when I think about what he did for us, you know, I've told you about the story. We're in my office, and man, the Holy Spirit came upon me in such a way that says, hey, stop playing with this thing where the devil is trying to talk about he's taking over somebody's house. Remember what I did for you. And when I did that, the enemy's defeated. We took communion. They haven't had any more problems because when it begins to happen, you take communion and say, God, I'm connected with you. This is your body which was given. This is your blood which was shed. And because of that, the enemy's defeated. And we walk in that victory. Therefore, the enemy has no power. You walk in that authority and you remember what Christ has done for you. Somebody give him good praise in this house. Thank you, God. So therefore, it's very important that we know this, that we live from a position of victory, not trying to get the victory. There's a big difference. I'm not trying to get the victory. I am victorious. If I could just explain that one, hallelujah. Because sometimes we used to sing the song, victory, victory shall be mine. Victory, victory, shall be mine. If I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle, it shall be mine. And then I begin to change it because there ain't really nothing wrong with that. But then I begin to say the song differently. When I read about what Jesus did for me, I start singing Jesus. I start singing, victory is mine. Victory is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind me because victory today is mine. What are you saying? I am declaring that I am victorious, not because of what I've done, but because of what Christ has done. Yeah. Will you do me a favor? Look at the person next to you and recognize that God tells us in his word, don't look at them after the flesh. All right. So when you see a person, you see the God in them. Yeah. You see the anointing upon them. You see the power of God on the inside of them. But we say, well, I don't see that. You got to look through the eyes of Jesus Christ. When I look in the mirror, I don't look at, you know, somebody between, you know, 5'6" and 6'5", you know. I am between there, just so you know. I don't look at someone that's out of their 30s now, you know. I don't see it from that perspective. I have to see myself as God sees me. Are you with me today? And it's sometimes difficult, especially if the devil's been telling you that you're nobody. That you can accomplish nothing, that you're just a mistake, that you're always doing things wrong, and that you should have prayed longer, you should have fasted longer. How many of you, does the devil just tell me that, or does he tell other people that too? He said, you haven't been in the Word long enough. You should have done more and more. And man, you'll never add up. So therefore, I don't see myself after the flesh, but I see myself after the Spirit. So when I look in the very mirror, I see God himself. I want you to know that even, hallelujah, I hope I just died on my nose. I hope you can get grasp this. When they walked into the holy place, on their way to the holy place, one of the things that they did is they stopped by the brazen laver, and it had liquid in it. And they knew it was hot enough when they can look in there and see the reflection. I want you to know that you're on the right path when God is doing some things. When you no longer see yourself, when you get ready to cast out a devil, you don't see Jerry Wayne doing it. You see Christ in you doing it. Because it's Christ on the inside of you that's the hope of glory. When you begin to cast out devils, you don't say it's because I've got the power, but it's because the power of God dwells on the inside of me, and I do this in the name or the authority of Jesus Christ. He sent me to do it on his behalf. Therefore, you've been given authority. You walk in power. In your house, over your finances, when folks begin to act up and clown, you take authority because he's given you authority. So you live from a position of victory. That's why I don't want to walk around like we're punks and peasants. Defeated. I'm just a victim. You're not a victim. If you are, rise up and become a victor. Hallelujah. I'm not blaming anybody for my situation. Not pointing the finger at any group of people. You know, no, but what I'm doing is looking to God because he is the one that gives us strength. So operate from a position of victory. You get up in the morning, I'm victorious. Amen. Not, I hope I get the victory today. I am victorious. Amen. Why are you victorious? Because of the ones that you're connected with. Right. In Christ you live. In Christ you move. And in Christ you have your being. And I give God glory and praise. Do what we say with me. I'm victorious. I'm triumphant. I'm a winner. If you really believe that, put your hands together and give God praise in this house. My last point is this, and I pray that you grasp it. On this note, my prayer is the prayer that Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus. He says that in order for this to work for us, he says, our understanding needs to be enlightened. He says, you can have all types of things that I've accomplished for you because you're my children, you're from my inheritance. He says, but if you don't get the revelation, if your eyes aren't open to see who you are, how many of you ever have talked to people that you see the greatness on them, but they don't see it upon themselves? You see the power of God moving upon them, but they don't see it because the enemy's talking other kind of stuff. You know, there are exhorters, and we need to be exhorters and encouragers and builders and speaking into an individual. It's already there. We're just calling it forth. Are you with me today? Thank you, God. Today you'll have an opportunity because even on the altar, if the enemy's been telling you foolish stuff and you know that's not what God says about you, there will be some people that can speak over your life and speak into your life and see some things sometimes we don't see. Are you with me today? I tell a young man came to me, says, Pastor, I'm struggling with the area of confidence or lack thereof. And another one says, I don't really feel beautiful. And I begin another young lady, I said, man, you are beautiful. You're the apple of God's eye, and you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Our ladies need to hear that. Our men need to hear that they have what it takes, that because you're in Christ Jesus, not you, don't see yourself after the flesh. Oh, my God. Boy, I tell you, I almost need to stay here for a while because, man, the way God sees his children are different than how the world sees you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Ladies, know how beautiful you are. I don't care whether you're a size 6 or a size 8. It don't make no difference. Whether you're my height, I'm talking men now, whether you're 6 foot, whatever. You know, it don't make, God sees you and he doesn't see you after the flesh. That's why when they were looking for someone to fight Goliath, they were looking for someone that looks the part on the outside that already chosen Saul, and that hadn't worked. Now they're hiding. They said, you know, it says men look on the outward appearance. But guess what? God looks upon the heart. God, I tell you what, I want my heart to be bent toward God so he can use me in this last day. Somebody give him praise and give him glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This was not in my message, but you on the front row, man, God's going to use you in a mighty way, man. He's seen your heart. He's seen your hunger for him. The scripture says in the book of Old Testament, it talks about the fact that the eyes of God go to and fro, looking for someone that has a heart that's bent toward him. Can I let you know that God has seen your heart? He's going to reward you accordingly. So receive that in the name of Jesus. Put your hands together for him. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. My last point is this, and I'm done. Simply this. Some of us have been in the midst of some struggle, and some serious struggle, from the standpoint of even saying, I want to give up, I want to quit. And I love that passage that lets us know that we should stand fast, that we've got to be strong. You know, you can't give up. And some of us are on the brink of a tremendous breakthrough. But can I share this? Even if you don't get the breakthrough that you think you have or should get, you need to know that God is still God. And he's still Lord. Now, here's a scripture. Hallelujah. The scripture is Romans 8th chapter, 18th verse. It's one of my favorite scriptures. And I'm going to quote it before I read it from a different version. The NIV says, I reckon that this present suffering is not worthy to be compared to the glory. Shall be revealed. Man, I have to gather myself when I even quote that. It says you've been through some stuff. How many can attest? Woo! But your suffering does not compare to the glory that shall be revealed. He shall wipe every tear from your eye. Take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it around for your good. Thank you, God. This scripture says, for I consider from the standpoint of faith, from the standpoint of faith, that the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us. Somebody give God praise.